Hey everyone, you're listening to Superwomen. Today's guest is Ali Levine. She is a celebrity stylist, a motherhood, fashion, and lifestyle expert. And she believes that no matter where you roam, from the laundry room to the red carpet, authenticity is your superpower and confidence is your best accessory. So welcome to the podcast, Ali.
Thank you so much for having me, Rebecca. I'm honored to be here.
So let's go back to the middle. When did you know you wanted to work in Hollywood and be a stylist? And how did you get started in that world?
Sure. So to be honest, I didn't know I wanted to really work in Hollywood per se. And I didn't even really know what styling was because for many years, stylist wasn't really a term that was coined, you know, in the industry. It was more a shopper or, you know, a designer or a costumer. So a little kind of background about me. I'm originally from New York, born and raised. I moved out to California for about, you know, a decade ago to get further into the business. But when I was working in New York, I was working in corporate design. So I was working for companies like Coach and Talbots and Lacoste and Fendi, and, you know, the list goes on. And then, you know, the market crashed and for like many lost their jobs and myself as well. And it really kind of got me on a soul searching journey of like, wow, what am I going to do now? Because I'm just kind of doing these little one-off gigs at the design companies, but I don't have any permanent positions. I don't see any future right now anyways. And so that made me start thinking like, what was next for me? You know, and what was I going to do? And so I started talking to different people around me and they were like, why don't you look into more of the entertainment industry? You love fashion and you love design. Why don't you look into what that looks like? So I had my first job as a PA for the famous and amazing Oliver Stone, worked for him on Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. And from there, that was kind of my whirlwind ride. I fell into the costume world. I met Ellen Mirojnik, who's an incredible, famous costume designer, became one of my mentors, started working for her. You know, after that movie, really fell in love with costume and kind of the fast-paced nature of the entertainment industry, if you will. And then I kind of dove into other movies and music videos and TV shows like 30 Rock all over New York. That took me to Atlanta. I worked in Atlanta on Big Mama's House with Martin Lawrence. And that was how I ended up being in LA. The team from the costume side was from Los Angeles. And they basically turned to me and said, what are you doing in New York? And I was like, well, it's where I'm from. It's where I've been. And, you know, I've been building my life. And they're like, well, if you want to do more of what you're doing, you need to be in LA. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, kind of news to me. I thought I could, you know, do what I was doing in New York. And they kind of laid out the plan of what I was wanting and creating was not going to necessarily be all in New York. And they gave me an opportunity and they said, you know, if you'll work with us and you'll, you know, put in the time with us and everything, we will help you get into the union. We will set you up. And how many times in your life are you handed something where they say, we will set you up and take care of you, you know? So I said, yes, you know, and off I went, you know, not even a couple months later, moved out to LA with really not much other than their contacts and a couple other people I knew, you know, within my family and friends, and started working in the costume house and being an intern on other projects and just really getting my foot in the door, if you will, to transition from styling and the costume world from, you know, what I was doing in New York. So that was kind of the start of it. And then fast forward from that, I worked on more movies in LA and I realized I was losing my passion in the movie side of things. Costume wasn't fueling my soul and I couldn't figure out why. And I started to realize it just wasn't that creative. Of course it's creative, but for me, it wasn't that creative avenue that I was looking for that I had found before in the design and product development world. And I started talking to people and they said, well, what about styling? And I only knew a little bit about styling. Rachel Zoe was kind of like just a big deal at that point. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I can look into this. I took a couple business courses. I went to School of Style. I met a couple mentors. I did some internships. And, you know, after quite some time of interning and assisting, I realized that was where I want to be. And that was kind of how I fell into the styling world. And then my business kind of took off from there. All of a sudden, I was asked to dress, you know, these different D-listers, if you will, of the world and people that maybe nobody cared about at the time. And some of those people turned into names. Some of those people got best dressed and my name was behind it. And before I knew it, Ali Levine Design was born.
So how did you feel like your previous experience shaped you to then prepare you for being a stylist, because I was a stylist before I was a designer, and it was incredibly stressful, incredibly demeaning at some points, you know, when you're like carrying 100 garment bags and no one will help you. And
absolutely,
the celebrity is expecting you to, you know, be at their beck and call. And so like, what do you think your past taught you before you dove into that?
I think I got taught, especially from when the, you know, market crashed and so much change, I think I got taught that, you know, nothing is necessarily like quote unquote permanent. Nothing is for sure a guarantee, even though I felt like I had a guarantee in the corporate world when I was doing development and design. And I think that gave me the freedom and the, I would say, trust in going freelance into styling and being open to not doing something potentially by the books like I was in the corporate world and having a 9-to-5 and all of these things. And I think also, you know, even though obviously it's a totally different grind, I think still, you know, I worked very hard in corporate. I had, you know, I jumped many different positions design-wise. You know, I think that persistency, that strength, being able to have mentors around you and build helped propel me into, you know, what I was doing in styling. And then I think really just trusting in myself. You know, I think that I saw more of how much I trusted in myself when I left the corporate world and kind of jumped into the entertainment, even though I was very nervous and a lot of people said, you're crazy, what are you doing? I think I really started to trust myself. And that was something that that moment and that situation taught me how to trust myself to further go into then styling. So I think it was, you know, honestly, not just one thing. I think it was all different things. And then, you know, the business side of corporate and the things that you maybe don't learn as a stylist, that definitely massively helped me for so many different situations that I would have never thought could have helped me between just college and, you know, different projects I worked on in New York City at all these different companies that just kind of came up in different ways, you know. And even when I worked at Target, you know, in retail for quite a few years as an executive, you know, that relationship helped me so much in styling because I learned kind of the logistics of things and how things work on the back end that you don't necessarily know as a stylist and why certain things, you know, take time to be created or, you know, why something is only this and or why it's that pricing, how I source something. So I think I kind of honestly took a little bit of everything and then, of course, had to relearn all over again the styling world. And I think when you speak about kind of that demeaning, because I've been there so many times, I think I learned how to handle that because I did so much of that kind of PA work in the entertainment industry before I moved over into styling and I was running around for whomever, whenever, at whatever hour. And so I learned like, hey, this is kind of how you pay your dues and climb, you know, in this entertainment world, if you will. And I think in corporate too, you know, I started as a low assistant, you know, and in my first job and then advanced, you know, into design levels. So I think all those different things prepared me mentally, emotionally, and even, you know, physically for being able to do all the work. But styling was definitely a major shift. And I definitely have had many hiccups and challenges and, you know, humps to get over between my own ego as well as even just, wow, I'm not really feeling the gratitude. I'm not really feeling respected and learning how to draw boundaries within that too. You know, I'm finding what really aligns with me and going from a place of starting my business where I was taking everyone and saying yes to everyone to coming into a space of seeing how hard I had worked and how well my, you know, career had taken off and people getting best dressed all over the world, that I could then kind of hand pick and say, I'm going to work with you because, you know, we align and I want to work on your brand, or I'm not going to work with you because you don't appreciate me. And that's been a big growth for me as well.
You know, you look at everything so positively, and I love that you have that mindset, because I only look back and like cringe with fear at what I went through as a stylist in the industry and why I like felt the need to get out of it. I mean, I do miss it sometimes. But I love that you have such a positive outlook, and even your previous history, which, you know, working with celebrities is not an easy feat. And so I love that.
I mean, we both know that. I mean, let's be real. I like in the moment with certain celebrities, I would cry, I would scream, I would walk off set to breathe because they were so nasty, some of them. I mean, that's not to say that in the moment I was always positive. You know, I think that as I've learned, as I've gone through things and, you know, becoming a mother, of course, and just different my own inner wisdom, I guess, I've learned that I'd rather take positives away from things, even if certain situations were quote unquote negative or were hard or were challenging, and, you know, use that to my benefit to turn things around in a positive manner. But does that mean I did all those things in the moment? No, probably not. I was very much human and, you know, was learning in those moments and had a lot of triggers with certain people that wouldn't treat me correctly or would throw hangers at me, or the list goes on. I mean, I think we all as stylists kind of know this space and know how intense and grueling it can get. And I think that, you know, that's where I kind of learned to draw my boundaries, especially when I got pregnant with my first daughter and everyone was demanding me and I literally was feeling exhausted and sick all the time. And I had to really look at my life and everything and say, okay, who am I going to work with that feels good and I actually enjoy going to go see? And who am I going to say no to because just because it's a paycheck, it's not actually doing anything for my soul. And now I'm growing a human and I need to actually be aware of this.
So when you said no to that, when you started saying no to opportunities, what was going through your mind? Like, oh no, will I get this? Will this come back to me later? Is it going to be harder, you know, once I re-enter? I think that so many women are afraid to say no and then they do and they regret it. Or I have yet to meet someone who doesn't, but you have to, right? You have to, you're growing a human or you've just had a human and you have to prioritize, you know, how you sort of reshape your life. So what gave you the courage to say no? And how did you find the strength to say no?
I think that a lot of us are programmed to think that no is a fear-based state. And we just think like, if I say no, nothing will ever happen. If I say no, I will never get that opportunity again. And I've been in that, you know, fear mindset for many years. And I think, you know, through different things that I've gone through in my own life, I've learned that that's not true. And yes, there is resistance in the no. And yes, it is scary. But there's also growth in the no. And there's power in the no. And you make room for other things by saying no. If you keep clouding, you know, your brain and your mind and your plate really with so many yeses, which I was doing for so many years, you can't see straight of like what's working and what's not. You know, and you look at what you're experiencing in that moment and you're like, okay, you know, these things are like taking up my time, but are they really all working for me? Are they all really making me happy or whatever it may be, you know, versus like I said no to this. Yes, don't get me wrong. There may be a moment of fear of like, oh, am I going to make that money back? Am I going to be able to do this? But you make room, I believe, and you align with the universe and say, but I'm making more room for something that I actually want now. And I wouldn't have that space if I didn't do that. And so I think that when you allow yourself to get out of the fear mindset and say, but this is going to be for my better good, and this is going to open up more space for whatever the next thing is that I want to do, whether it be prioritize my children, whether it be a different type of job opportunity, whatever it may be, and realize that there can be power behind that, I think that mindset shift alone is very powerful. And that's something that I've continuously worked on and I've been seeing shift in my life. And is it overnight? Absolutely not. But I think the more you do that work and the more you allow yourself to know that you can release that fear and you can move through the mindset of, I'm going to say no, but there's going to be power behind this no because something else is going to come that's going to be that much more powerful. That's my yes. And that's going to be a resounding yes. And you're going to feel that all through you. And those are the things that I've been experiencing as I say no and shift my priorities.
Well, let's shout that from the fucking rooftops because I think it's so incredible how you view that and how you've been able to manifest that. It's so important. And I'm going to definitely be taking your advice.
Thank you. It's a work in progress. You know, I tell everyone when they're like, oh my gosh, it feels like you figured it out. And I'm like, no, I'm only human. I have my moments. I have moments where I have to sit with myself and reprogram myself and say, that's just your fear talking. That's just essentially a lower frequency of you. I want to align with my higher self. I want to be at the best status for myself, my family, you know, my husband, of all things for humanity. And what does that look like? And really envision that in your life and call that in, you know, and I think for me, that's been a huge part of my mindset shift. It's just, you know, that journaling, that speaking out loud, that releasing of fear. We all have fears. It's life. But releasing it and seeing it for what it is and allowing yourself to move through it.
Totally. I feel like you're channeling what I write in my book, which is fear might not be an emotion that's going to go away, but it doesn't have to be one that stops us.
Yes, I love that. Exactly. It doesn't have to stop us and it doesn't have to bury us. It doesn't have to, you know, put us in, you know, shackles and, you know, and have us essentially be cuffed in fear. We can move through it and we can see it for what it is and then release it and then surrender. That's been another huge thing for me with this kind of the no of what you're speaking of is like surrendering to the fact that I'm saying no and stop worrying constantly that every no is the wrong no. Maybe some of them are, but I'm going to learn, right? But I'm only going to learn if I actually allow myself to say no and not always say yes.
Yeah. I'm saying no a lot right now, especially to going out at night.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh my gosh. As a mom, I'm just like, let me just be with my kids.
Yes. I love that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So let's talk about Bravo. How did that go down?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So obviously for years I was doing, you know, celebrity styling and, you know, working all in the industry. And then of course, you know, from being in the industry, you know, you meet all kinds of people and all kinds of opportunities come through. And it was funny because I had been asked to be on all different fashion shows on, you know, Bravo and E, and I had done random little one-off things and, you know, this and that. And it was so funny because nothing like that I did that was like these other season things were ever green lit or ever played out, you know? And so it's like, oh, of course this plays out in my life, you know, stripped. You know, it was funny when they came to me, you know, she's a friend and she's a producer and she's like, this would be a great opportunity for you. We love the idea of like taking all your shit away as a celebrity stylist and kind of watching you lose it. And I was like, oh yeah, no. And she's like, well, seriously though, like, I think it'd be good learning for you too. And like, this could be really good for you. And then it was funny because when I was saying no, my husband was already saying yes. He was like, this could be really good for you. You know, Justin was like, that could be really good for like you to have a good reset because you're so in fashion and you're so like just in design world and not in like the reality world. And you're just always consumed by your clients. Like, this could be really good for you. And I was like, eh, I don't know about that. And so he kind of was the one to kind of push me and be like, you should do this. And then of course, you know, my publicist and everyone around me was like, hey, you should totally do it. We want you to do it. So, you know, I end up saying yes to this. And, you know, I go into a meeting with the producers and everything and they share their vision of, you know, basically you like you take everything away from you for 21 days. And what does that look like? And in my mind, you know, being someone who had styled in the reality world and worked with so many reality stars are friends. In my mind, I'm like, okay, no big deal. I lose my stuff, but like, I'll still be able to like put myself back together at night when the cameras are off, or I'll still be able to do like, I faked all this in my head of like what I thought was going to play out. You know, I'm like, oh, I've seen these kind of reality shows. Like, it's fine. I'll just like do it for camera and then I'll go back to my life. So that was not the case. And when we started, you know, like day zero, it was literally like everything get taken away from you, your clothes, you know, your everything, like, you know, literally everything get taken away from you. And, you know, how do you deal, you know, without it? And, you know, what do you do to survive? And, you know, how do you handle it? You know, and I mean, day zero, you couldn't even ask for anything back. You literally just had nothing. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're literally taking everything away, including our clothes. Like, this is insane. We're sleeping on our cold hardwood floor, like using our toilet paper rolls as pillows, because that was one of the things they gave you, toilet paper, water, and like these MRE food, military rations. And it was like game on. And, you know, we talked about earlier kind of mindset and, you know, shifts and fear. And I really believe, as much as this was, of course, a reality show and a docuseries and all things for entertainment for people watching, for me, I truly believe it was a stripping away of so much in my life. And I mean that in a very inner work level. It made me expose so much that I was ignoring. It made me face so many shadows that I maybe didn't want to see or deal with. I wasn't prioritizing my husband. I wasn't prioritizing my personal life. I was a slave to my clients. I had no boundaries. You know, it really kicked up so much for me emotionally that after going through that process, yeah, you know, it was, you know, funny entertainment, whatever. But for me, I really felt like, wow, I've been changed. Like, I'll never be the same Allie again because I've had to face so much. And now I have to almost keep going through this in order to go through this journey because there's no going backwards for me from this. So for me, it was a lot more intense than I expected it to be. But I do believe it was a blessing in disguise because to this day, I feel I've learned so much about myself and my own vulnerabilities. And I think it's awakened me to a lot of things.
Hallelujah. It's kind of like naked and afraid, but
yeah,
that's literally what it reminds me
except
of.
Naked and in your house.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, I applaud you for lasting 21 days. That's pretty incredible.
Thanks. I had a lot of moments where I was screaming and cursing at the producers and saying I didn't want to do it. And my husband was the one that was like, you can do it. And I know you can. And just get your mindset right. And I was like, frick this, I'm done. And he was like, Allie, you wanted to do this, you know, to help yourself and to help us, and you can do it. And I think if he didn't do it with me, I think I would have lost my shit in a corner crying naked, you know, for all the world to see. So thank God that he was there to help me.
Oh my God. Amazing. Well, at least you had that rock, right?
Yes. We all need one, right?
Yes. One of the questions I love asking all my guests is, what is one thing we'd be surprised to know about you?
Well, I don't think this is like fully known. So I would say probably that I recently got certified in breath work. And mm-hmm. that for me, that's something that when I went through, you know, the pandemic, as we all did in the world, and I was pregnant with my second daughter, Arlie, and I was losing my mind, to be quite honest, and was like, oh my gosh, the external world is so insane. How do I make my inner world, you know, calm? Because it's so necessary, especially with being pregnant during this time. And I had to work through so many fears besides COVID, just so much that was coming up for me. And, you know, breath work and meditation were one of those things that really helped me work through. And so after getting my V back with my second daughter, Arlie, which is a vaginal birth after a C-section, if someone doesn't know, which I was told, you know, by many is much, you know, harder and wasn't possible. And there I was during a pandemic and all the wildness of the world, you know, getting my V back. And I felt so empowered and so strong coming from a space of a traumatic, you know, C-section with my daughter and postpartum depression to then fast forward to where I was during this time in the world. And I really believe the breath work and meditation work and the mindset work of what I did was a major, you know, player in that, allowing myself to open up, to allow my body to open up and have an empowered birth.
Awesome. And then my last question for you is, what is some advice you've either learned the hard way or that someone gave to you that you felt really actually was workable and you got something out of it versus like, ugh, I hate, you know, like I hate when people give me advice that, you know, is trash.
Totally. Well, I would say that, okay, well, maybe I've said a couple things. So one, I think as far as just learning for myself, is to always trust yourself and trust your intuition. I think that so many times we have so much outside that tries to tell us things, and you know, we have so much within us that we really can trust. And when we listen, I think, especially as mothers to our own inner voice, we really know what is best. That's why like a mother knows what's best for their child, no matter what. And I feel that I have really learned how to tune into my intuition. And I was told a long time ago that, you know, your intuition really is your North Star. It is your guidance. It is everything. The keys are within you. And I've really learned over these last years, especially coming into motherhood, how much that's true and how much the more I do deep inner work and the more I do tap into my own intuition, what that looks like for me and how I am always somehow right in the situation of what I'm doing because I'm trusting within myself instead of trusting something else. And I think that that's really, really important, especially for mothers. I think so many times we get advice, right? And so much of it comes from a good place. But if it's not meant to be ours or something that maybe won't work for us for whatever reason, we need to be able to trust ourselves. And so I'm very big on intuition and trusting yourself.
The reason why we get to say it's a mother's intuition, right?
That's right. Yeah. And so many times, you know, people want to say, well, but that may not be true. And how do you know? And I'm like, sometimes, honestly, I couldn't even tell you how I know. I say this to my own husband. It's just within. It's just something inside of me that's telling me, you know, we all have a gut for a reason. I truly believe mothers have a superpower when it comes to that gut intuition, and we have to lean into it and trust it. I truly feel that.
It's so true. You know, one thing as it relates to our guts and the nerd in me is there are as more hormones, serotonin produced in your gut than in your brain. You know,
yes.
people
yes.
say, trust your gut. You're like, that's why. Cause like that's all right. that good Amen. Stuff is being made yep. there.
Yep. It's true. I love that you know that because so many people don't. And I've shared that with some people and they're like, that's not true. And I'm like, go ahead and go look it up. Go do your own search. Like it is real. You will see it. Like, and you're right. When you realize that, it's like, wow, there's almost a power within that because it's like, oh, there's a reason trust your gut. Oh, there's a reason gut health. I mean, there's so much with your gut. So it's like, yes, trust yourself and trust your intuition.
100%. And even what fascinated me was like people are depressed and they'll take something thinking it's going to fix, you know, whatever in their brain. And you're like, no, maybe take a look at your gut
yes.
and change your diet and clean up all the, you know, you gotta feed it some good food and then see how you feel. And I know for me, it made a huge difference, which is why I'm
Same.
So passionate
I changed,
about it.
Yep. I changed my probiotic for my gut health and I changed everything with my food and, you know, just did all different things to play around. And I'm like, wow, what a difference. Like, you know,
totally.
It's, and you're right. It's so true. And I love that you said that because I think so many times, you know, we think like, oh, if I do this, because again, something from the outside is telling you, well, this will work. And not saying that those things don't always work, but again, trust within you and do that work first and see if that works before you go to something else. That's where I am. I'm doing more and more internal work than I ever have before. And it is wild and beautiful and exhausting all at once, but I feel the payoff is way more than I've ever experienced.
100%. So Ali, where can people follow you, find you, watch you?
Well, thanks so much for having me. This conversation lit me up. You can find me at alilevine.com is my website. Whether you want to be styled by me, I'm doing mostly remote at this point. But you know, feel free to reach out. My social media is Ali Levine Design, A-L-I-L-E-V-I-N-E Design, no S, on all social media platforms. Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. I love to say hello on DMs if something resonated with you or you have any questions. I love to create community, so please say hello and let me know you found me from Rebecca's incredible Superwoman podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ali.
Thank you.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Minkoff, at RM Superwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.